The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get through
that. Psychosis? Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler.
Hello, and welcome to episode 150 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host for tonight, Don DeLaRente. I'm joined by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonet.
Hey, friends.
Hey, Dee Dee, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. And we're joined tonight by a longtime member of the RawCast SmackDown Matters live tweets. His first appearance here on the podcast, none other than Kudo. What's up, man?
Yo, what up?
What's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. How you feeling?
We're good, man. Let the people know where they can follow you on Twitter and all that good stuff.
Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, everything. Darth Kudo, DarchKudo. All your right. Workups.
Now, as a first-time guest, we'll stick with the tradition of getting your origin story. What made you fall in love with professional wrestling? Who are some of your favorites? And what keeps you watching?
Well, I grew up in Memphis. I always used to go to the Memphis, the Mid-South Wrestling on Saturdays. Like, it was a $5 interest fee, me and my cousin used to go, and that really got me hooked. And from there, I started watching WWE, my favorites. Naturally, The Rock. As soon as I seen him, I had to be a favorite. That guy was the bomb. But other than that, man, let's see. He said, what keeps me watching? I don't know, the pageantry. I don't know. I like the pageantry, bro. I mean, it's something, it's an escape, you know?
Right. Yeah, I put on Twitter, like, wrestling looks the best it's ever looked as far as the way it's presented on TV now. It's never looked sharper as far as, like, WWE, the way its production-wise is.
Yeah.
It's on another level than it's ever been. Well,
man.
Thank you for joining us tonight, making some time.
Thank you. I always want to be out here.
Thank you for listening, being a you know, supporter and follower of all the things that we do. Join us and all the hashtags, man. We greatly appreciate it.
No problem, man. WrestleCast rocks.
So at this point, we'll get into our news segment. And the big news that came out earlier this week is that Jeff Jarrett is taking an indefinite leave of absence for personal reasons, as it was stated in the press release, from his creative and basically just, you know, operating duties at Global Force Wrestling.
I mean, thank God.
It seems that Global Force had been kind of trying to make a, you know, slight turnaround since they, you know, they had got rebranded Global Force, and Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel had taken over the creative and the booking, and they just re-signed with Pop TV. They renewed their deal with them as well. They just came off a big set of television tapings. So right now they really have a lot of question marks going on with them because their leader, you know, has basically said he's taking it to the house and nobody knows for how long or what the situation is. So,
I don't know, man. I think that kind of, maybe that arena is built on an Indian burial ground or something, because they can't get it together, bro. They cannot get it together.
And in a side note, it's also been reported that Anthem might want to be ready to get out of the wrestling business, as you know, GFW is basically operating at a loss, and it's a huge loss at this point because they don't run house shows. Their television deal is not one where they get paid to be on the station, and they're not drawing a lot when they run their pay-per-views. So there's really not a revenue stream for GFW as far as Anthem is concerned. So they may be, speculation is they're starting to kind of feel around to see if there's anybody out there who might want to, you know, by the library or by the company straight out. So,
oh my God. Vince needs to go ahead and pull that button, bro. let the pettiness go. Go ahead and get that. They're interesting acquisition, to say the least. You know,
right? I don't think you would acquire the whole company. I think you would cherry pick the library, and then he would say, "Okay, how about that Matt Hardy thing now?"
So right, he should learn his lessons from what he tried to do the invasion angle and bring in the best talent. Try to make sure they get in off top. You know, cancel those contracts with Anthem. Bring them right in off the top. Nope, don't dick around. Put them on the minor league. Don't put them on NXT. Bring them straight in. I mean, low key is a main event talent. He should be in there.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the way that they view people from outside of their footprint is, you know, pretty iffy. So, you know, some guys you may think is a big deal, they look at them and just go, don't see it. So it's always interesting who they cherry pick out of these companies when things like this happen.
Right. I mean, that'll be a I'm serious though. That'll be a great, like an indie invasion angle. I mean, low key was shooting on him yesterday, wasn't it? With the FWWE, the F this. This is Global Force, bitch. He didn't come on in. What do you think?
Well, it wouldn't be that great of a deal, because for the invasion angle to work, they have to do a lot of damage to the people who are previously there, and I don't see Vince doing that at all.
Right. Yeah. What if no? Well, he probably would try to do the same thing from the old invasion angle, bring some of his guys, have them switch over. Vince never learns like that.
Right. I mean, for WCW's purposes, all I wanted was Vince to just acquire the company and just let them be. Just say, okay, we'll put the money in, keep y'all going, we own it, but it'll still be, you know, quote unquote, you know, the competition.
The Monday Night Roar, right?
Right. But, you know, that wasn't going to happen, so. So we'll talk about this week's Monday Night Raw, the only show in town from Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, God.
We start off fast this week, where we have a match right off the gate. We have John Cena versus Jason Jordan. What was cool was they, brought this full circle, as, you know, John Cena's very first introduction to the world was on SmackDown, where he wrestled Kurt Angle. And he gave Kurt Angle a pretty good match. And, you know, after the match, Kurt Angle had to shake his hand and you know, show him respect and tell him, you know, the kid's got a future here. So this is kind of like Jason Jordan's opportunity to do the same thing that John Cena did 15 years ago. John Cena reverses a side suplex into a crossbody and gets a near fall. Cena then hits the AA and he gets the win over Jason Jordan. So what did y'all think about the match?
Pretty decent, I guess. I mean, nothing to write home to your mom about.
Miss Didi?
Anything that ends in John Cena win is nothing I want to be a part of.
Exactly.
All right. So after the match, our good friend Roman Reigns comes down, calls out John for taking so long with Jason Jordan, basically saying, you know, he's a 16-time champion. Jason Jordan's basically a rookie. Why did it take him almost 20 minutes to beat him? Or was John Cena carrying him? And so, of course, they dive into another promo battle. Not quite as heated as last week's, but, you know, it's still another loss for Roman if you were, you know, right, scoring this at home on points. So
a bit closer this time, maybe 60-40, Cena-Roman.
Right. Cena didn't go turned up on him like he did the week before, so.
Oh, yeah. He went man's not hot in that first one.
Yeah, exactly. We had an IC title match. We're going to kind of just go out of order. Not going to have any particular order tonight. As we had Jeff Hardy go against The Miz. And a surprising finish here, The Miz wins clean in the middle of the ring after he counters the Twist of Fate with the Skull Crushing finale. So, Miz holds on to the IC title. The crowd really is behind Jeff Hardy. So, you know, there may be a future singles run in his future if things can't get cleared up with the Hardys trying to acquire some type of a gimmick that suits them.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been their plan, though, to make Jeff Hardy the superstar he should be, I guess. But Matt's the more creative one, storyline-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Weird with them. I mean, together, they're just undeniably great, but they both have their things they're individually great at.
Mm-hmm. We saw Nia Jax backstage trying to capitalize on the ending of Raw last week, where, you know, she comes into Kurt Angle's office asking why Sasha was getting another title shot, not her. Emma then comes in and she's talking her hashtag stuff. And then Kurt Angle makes a match between Nia and Emma versus Sasha and Alexa. And if Nia if Nia and Emma win the match, they get to be a part of the title match at No Mercy. So it becomes no longer a singles match between Alexa and Sasha, but a four-way. Then, of course, we had later on, we had a backstage discussion between Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks, which turned very heated as usual because these two don't like each other. Word.
I mean, oh my God. I seen spit and Sanu flying out of her face. I mean, she wanted to really do some damage right then and there. I would have let her do it. I'm sorry. I mean, a couple punches wouldn't have hurt it.
We had everybody's favorite leather coat wearing superstar, Finn Balor, comes out because of the in-ring promo about Bray. Bray comes up on a big screen. Bray says, you know, he wants him to wrestle him as Finn, not the Demon King this time. So their program continues.
Nice. Wrestling fans got to get it done this time, too. I'm sorry, Bray. This ain't going to be yours. This ain't going to be yours, man.
We had Sheamus and Cesaro defeat Slater and Rhino. Good to see Rhino and Slater out here, you know, getting some action. Not just, you know, being the superstars at catering. Sheamus catches Rhino with the bro kick, and they get the win.
Did not see that coming, right?
We had our six-man 205 live match, where we had Enzo, Cedric Alexander, and Grand Metalik versus Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Noam Dar. Enzo makes a blind tag. He pokes Gulak in the eye, and then he hits Eat the Feet. And Enzo, Cedric Alexander, and Grand Metalik get the win.
I mean, what are they doing? They gonna fully pull them heel, or if they should have pulled them heel, they should have did that like at that Shark Cage match. Have him drop down a brass nook. He kills Big Show. They reunite.
He's not a heel. It's just that if you're not cheating, you're not trying. That's all.
Yeah. Right. He's like, the thing is, he's not as athletic one and technically sound as all these guys he's wrestling with.
Yeah, he's not good enough, so he has to resort to alternative means.
There you go, DDC.
Exactly.
That's why you're my co-host.
See, it takes a heel to understand. these are just heel tactics.
DD, queen of the heel life.
I'm not new to this. I'm true to this.
Later on after the match... three men were celebrating backstage. Neville walks in. Neville basically says that, you know, tomorrow night, meaning on 205 Live, there's going to be a five-way to determine the number one contender for his title at No Mercy between Enzo, Cedric Alexander, Grand Metalik, Noam Dar, and Brian Kendrick. So we get the Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks versus Nia Jackson Emma match. Nia hits the big leg drop on Sasha. Emma tags herself in, and Emma makes the pin, and they get the win. So they will be added to the title match at No Mercy, which now becomes a four-way.
How does she appropriate a whole title match? That's weird.
But I'll wait until we have to play Who You Got.
Did y'all see that negligee on Nia's new outfit? I need that. I need her in my life.
Hashtag creepcast. Hashtag
creepcast. Right.
King of the crew cast right here.
After the match, Nia snatches up Emma and gives her a Samoan drop. So Nia is continuing her, you know, streak of, you know, destroying people after the matches.
Yes. Like, so I have an idea. Every time Nia does this, so the crowd should just start chanting "Whoop that trick." Like, awesome. Yeah. It'll be beautiful.
We get a Braun Strowman backstage promo. He does on his steel cage match later tonight with Big Show. Then we get the Good Brothers versus Rollins and Ambrose.
Club forever.
Cesaro tries to come on, Dee Dee, you got to stay in so you can hear this.
I'm sorry.
Cesaro tries to distract Rollins, but Rollins runs Anderson into Cesaro and rolls Anderson up, and they get the win. The Good Brothers and Sheamus and Cesaro then get into a huge brawl after the match.
And who got the ass whooped?
Here we go.
Yeah, okay. The Good Brothers took another heartbreaking L.
Right. This makes me cry every time I see them take an L. Horrible.
I smile.
I mean, they should be somewhat brutal, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that, but I don't have that experience with them. So it's just like, looks like the Third Reich. Right? Looks like Charlottesville. Can't deal with it. It's not their fault. It's just
It's
just the cars that they've been dealt.
What horrible cars they are.
We get a Big Show promo. Pretty inspired Big Show promo.
I missed in Sam's review last week that the Big Show didn't have his beard anymore. So I was very shocked.
Really?
Very upset. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I just told him he like a thump thumb. I started crying.
He does. Why would you shave off your wonderful, beautiful, moisturized beard?
His wife had something to do with it. I'm sorry.
No, then you trim it down. You don't just shave it off.
That like, why would
you do that? Why wouldn't you just go low? Why would you go no? Who? What?
Right?
What? If that was her idea, he needs to divorce her. She makes bad life choices.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I digress.
So we get our main event of the evening, Hoss Matt Spectacular, Big Show versus Braun Strowman, steel cage match. So many good spots in this match. I mean, we get Big Show giving us a Macho Man elbow off the top. At one point, it looks like Big Show is going to try to climb out of the cage. I don't really know how that was going to work out for him, but still a spectacle nonetheless. Braun hits the big superplex, and the ring actually held up this time. He followed that up with a running power slam, and he got the win. After the match, Braun cuts a promo on Brock Lesnar. And then he looks down at the Big Show, tells him it's time to put him out to pasture. And Big Show gets lawn darted into the cage, through the cage, and out of the ring.
I mean, if there was any way for him to retire... Didn't he come in the WWE with a cage match, opening that cage?
It's a steel cage between him and Vince. It was a St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, with him off the ring.
Yeah.
I'm saying, grand opening, grand closing, bro.
It looked like Braun collapsed Big Show whole right side when he landed.
My whole right side hurt.
Yeah, so another impressive, impressive showing and outing by Braun Strowman.
There was one moment that did take me out of the match.
What happened?
When the Big Show had Braun down and he decided to climb fucking cage. And I was like, but the door is right there.
Right. So then, and he was closer to the door.
Yes, he was. And so then Braun got up and like kicked him off.
Right.
Fell down or something. And I was like, okay, but you can still walk to the door. Like, you can crawl to the door. I was like,
logic.
I hate, like, it's just like, why would you do that? Like, were you concussed? Did you not remember that the door was there? Like, I wish in these matches that they would just stop making the door an option, but then you don't get, like, the shots of them throwing the door into the head. So I get why it's still an option. But it's like, nobody ever leaves out of the door. So it's like, why don't, it's just over the top.
Right, I didn't even know you can pin in like in certain cage matches.
I didn't either. Right? I missed that part.
Wondering where they came in at.
Yeah, the whole thing of a cage match. See, WWE has they have three. There's three ways you can win a cage match in WWE. Well,
so it must just be the difference between cage match and Hell in a Cell, right? Is that
Hell in a Cell is the same way too.
Yeah. Well, then I don't know what the point is.
But see, WWE's always had that stupid rule where you can win by either leaving the cage or pinning or submitting your opponent. They've always had. It's the dumbest thing ever because the cage is there to keep you in. So why the hell would you be able to win to get it by getting out? But
like, it's just a big full wide open situation.
That's so silly.
It just gives them an out so they don't have to pin somebody if they don't want to.
Exactly. Makes somebody look weak.
Right.
That's tiresome.
Right.
I just...
if it's a cage match, somebody has to lose. I mean, that's the rules, bro. I mean, the worst way to lose in a cage match should be you standing on top of the cage while another guy's going down. You're just looking at him. No, he got me.
So, yeah, anything else stand out for you on Raw? What'd you think about it as a whole? Was it, you know, middle of the road?
It was pretty good, you know? I mean, I especially enjoy Nia's negligee for a million different reasons. I'm sorry. I can never pronounce her whole name, but I got the line of Fanny part right. I need her to email me so we can get this relationship started.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think she's based in Memphis. I don't seem like she wants a long-distance love. Would you be willing to move? Lover. All right.
I am a mobile lover.
Okay.
She can get this role, D.
DD, what was your overall impression of SmackDown? Oh, excuse me.
You mean Raw? It's no SmackDown.
Oh, it's never a good.
No, it's fine. It was actually good this week.
Because they've been on one.
You know, it's fine. Not enough distractions for my liking. But the 205 match was popping when Cedric and Metalik went over the rope at the same time. But you could see that they got over the rope two different ways, and I was like, "Damn!
Oh my god!"
I got a little hype. But other than that,
Cedric Alexander SmackDown matters. Challenging for the IC title right now.
Grim and Leak is low key that dude for 205.
I know. I mean, and they're not gonna put him on because apparently he can't speak great English. But leadership can Shinsuke, and he's amazing. It's just something
Shinsuke
else different.
Speaks with his body.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura, we'll shift over to the Didi Jones part of the show. SmackDown matters. Hash of the tag.
Yes, hash that tag.
Hash of the tag.
Thank you. This week's SmackDown, they were in South Dakota for a reason. Apparently, people live there. Right. So, you know, there have been some shakeups in the announcing table. We've got Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton per usual, but JBL is gone.
Thank the Lord.
You know, some people are sad about it. I don't know who they are. Some people are happy about it. Maybe Moro Ronaldo, perchance. I don't know. But his replacement is Corey Graves wearing a blue suit, looking like a snack, coordinating, being a part of the team colors. I appreciate it quite nicely. Backstage, Randy Orton's around talking. Nobody cares. He gets a whole vignette with thoughts and words and things. I don't listen because it's Randy Orton. Then Shinsuke gets one. And I was like, yeah. I forget what he said, but it sounded real nice. So next, Carmella and James are in the ring. They cut a promo, but then Kevin interrupts, and he's like, he's going to be the special referee for her match. And he tells the referee already in there to, like, give him the shirt. But that referee is, like, a good 100 pounds smaller than Kevin. So even if he gave him the shirt, I'm not quite sure what Kevin was going to do with the shirt. But Kevin
like
doesn't...
a scarf, maybe?
Maybe. A sarong.
Right.
I don't know. But he never nice gave him the band. Shirt. Exactly. Shane comes out and he's like, you're not going to be the referee. And then something happened with the fans acting up, but I didn't hear it. So then moved on, and he was like, I never wanted you on SmackDown. He never wanted to be on SmackDown. He wanted to be on Raw. And he's like, yeah, I'm sure you do, because, you know, Triple H is the one who handed you literally the Universal title, so I'm sure you want to be on Raw.
Shane.
But anyway... yeah, I'm not to blame for your failures. You're to blame for your failures. And he runs it down with all the specifics about how it's essentially your fault that you're a loser. And then Owens is like, did your dad ever give you enough attention when you were growing up? Is that why you're all up in my business?
Bars.
It was just like, I guess. And he says something about Shane's kids. And Shane is like, don't talk, children. And Shane is like, Kevin is like, you're trying to impress your daddy, jumping off of things, you know, like cages and whatever. And even... having a helicopter crash, and he says it would really be much better for your children and your wife and your dad if you just didn't even survive the crash. So he said kids left, so of course Shane went psycho, beat him up, threw him over the announce table. Some official who looked like Kurt Angle but who isn't Kurt Angle tried to pull him off, then Daniel Bryan tried to pull him off, and he looked at him like, stop. And Daniel Bryan was like, what are you doing? And, you know, the crowd is here for it because we like it when Shane beats people up. So they're at a break. They're in the back. Daniel's like, I'm so sorry. Shane is out of line. Owens is like, you goddamn right he's out of line. And I'm about to turn SmackDown live into the Kevin Owens show because I'm going to sue all of you. He's going to regret the day he put his, you know, all this shit. You know how Kevin be. So he said, Brian said there should be a better way to handle it. Kevin is like, yeah, criminal charges.
They put me on effing Sue.
He loves Eric Cartman shit.
That was Fit Finley, Didi, the guy who looked like Kurt Angle.
What?
Yeah, that was Fit Finley.
I thought it was his twin, like Bert Krangle or something, bro. I thought it was Kurt.
He's got a bald head now. You know, he used to have the buzz cut back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Fidelity is a snack. Or an older man.
Somebody granddaddy.
And you can be my dad. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Whoa, whoa, whoa now.
Wait a minute. Anyway, I digress. Next match was a non-title match between Natty Bo. The things happened. Carmella should have won, was actually about to win. But Ellsworth dropped the briefcase like into the ring a little bit, and then the referee picks it up like, you want to use it? And Carmella's like, no, no, I don't want to use it. No. What a distraction. Natty applies a schoolboy for a pinfall win. So Natty's like, woo! And then Carmella's like, what the fuck? Calls him not even a human. She didn't say anything about the chin, but she did call him a genetic defect, which is about the chin. So she's like, how are you even employed? Mother should have given you away at birth. And they are through. And so they were like, yeah, the crowd was, because they're weird. So Shane's backstage, angry. Cure with all the cute little cancer children. I guess they have cancer. There's something wrong with it. They're sickly babies, but it's so cute. They get to be their own wrestler. They have belts. They have accessories. It is
adorable. White girl. I swear to God, that's the one that gets me. She should be an Amigos.
It was a white girl.
Yes, the one who dabs, and I always cry right at the dab, like right on time. Put the girl in Amigos.
So emotional.
I'm sorry. Oh, they know what they're doing with those.
I'm sorry. My heart is cold. My soul is black. I am a heel.
Do you walk in the room and ice box just start playing?
Yeah. I mean, I like it, but I'm not crying in a damn commercial. I used to cry at the arms of the... No, cats love me. Thank you. But, you know, they're shady like I am. They understand. Like, I used to cry with the little Arms of an Angel commercial. Once you cry on that after a while, wow, you get desensitized. The things don't do anything.
I did chase one
anymore.
Of those kids once. I was drunk though. Yeah. One of them has a large head. If you go back, look at one of them. He has the largest potato shaped head.
Did you get the one with the fly on his eyeball? Is that
Oh my god. Why even put him on there? That is degrading. They must give him an extra piece of meat or something.
They need that money. They were like, here, him.
They made five extra shirts to put him on camera. That's horrible.
Oh, Jesus. I can't believe you actually sponsor one of them children.
I'm not. That
anyway.
I got the money for that now. I feel sympathetic, but ain't no money leaving my pocket.
True. Okay, so next. Ziggles has his re-debut. He's got, you know, it looks the same. Right? And then he starts shading people. He's like, oh, what, you want me to have a dumb gimmick? So he leaves and he comes back out to John Cena's music. Shady. Then he leaves again and he comes out to Randy Savage's music. And it's like, hold on, ho. But he has a valet and he's wearing a robe.
Right? That's when he starts going problematic.
He leaves again, and this is where we have a problem, because you don't fuck with the glow, Ziggles. And he came out trying to do some natty with some, not some natty, some nene with this little bullshit dread thing that Naomi only wore once, so it's not indicative of anything except for the fact that it's an ethnic hairstyle, and I caught your racism. Oh, yes, I did, Ziggles of Ohio. You are not slick. I caught it, and I don't like it. So he said something about gimmicks, and he said anybody could do what he just did, but he didn't do it well, so I don't know what he's talking about. And then he leaves, so, you know, I don't know. There's a rematch between Aiden English and Sammy of the Zanes. English tries to sing after the match because Zane interrupted him. This is after the match. Would you be shocked if I told you that Aiden actually won the match?
Yes, I would.
Like, without shenanigans?
I mean, what?
Clean in the middle.
What was that? Did I miss that? I think I missed that.
Well, it was only a 1 minute match. He won that quickly.
Yeah, he has to win the quick one.
Sammy missed a crossbody from the top, and Aiden English rolled him up.
Isn't that weird crossbody where he's on the second row, he jumps to the third, and...
Yep, it sure was.
Every time, he never makes that in WWE. No, he made it on Shinsuke and TakeOver Dallas. But that was like the only time I remember.
Poor baby. They treat him so bad. So after the win, Aiden wanted to celebrate with a song. And Sammy was like, guess what we're not going to do? And he ran after him. I was like, no, you are not singing your song.
Gotta
be damned. So he chases after him, mostly up the ramp. And then he stops because, you know, Aiden moves fast. So backstage, New Day and the Usos are joined by Daniel Bryan. They Usos announced a Sin City street fight for their tag title match next week because they're going to be in Vegas. After the Usos left, Biggie Joseph and...
That's a bit of a missed opportunity. I mean, Uso Penitentiary cage match. Right there. It writes itself.
I don't want a cage match, though.
I'm saying it would be a better match than what we saw Monday. Four times is better.
Did anybody notice how nobody but Big E was excited from New Day? Like, Kofi didn't really look all that jazzed up. Xavier didn't look really that gassed up about it. But Big E was the only one that was, like, about it.
Right? I mean, Big E is just a big muscular ball of happiness, though.
Maybe Big E just never been to Vegas before. Maybe he's excited.
Right? Cash out on the tables.
Would you wear some New Day draws?
Would I wear some New Day draws?
Yeah.
What kind of draws are they?
They got boxer shorts now. You didn't see those? Boys.
The boy shorts?
No, I'm poor. I don't. I have to save all my money for Rihanna. I don't.
What? Oh, yes. Has this ain't came out already? Or
makeup come out at 3 a.m.
In the morning?
Yeah, man.
Specific. Midnight.
Midnight Pacific time.
Midnight West Coast time.
If I had a bae.
Listen. The way these prices go, I could be your bae real quick. Hold on. Let me tell you what I want to order. Anyway, all right. What had happened? Okay, so Daniel gets a call from somebody important, and they tell him he has to go to the ring to make an announcement. He goes to the ring without his music. He calls out Shane, who comes out without his music. He's like, what were you thinking? Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Gave him the dad talk.
And Brian's like, yeah, no matter what if you want to fight them, you can't fight them. You got to keep your hands to yourself.
If it had.
Because, you know, you got to keep the company, the fans, and the employees first. He said for the betterment of the company, he didn't hit the Miz. So you can't hit the other superstars. You can't hit Kevin. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Never should have did it. But you can't be talking about the family.
Right.
And he's like, what if it was about your family? Brian's like, fuck all that. And he's like, Kevin threatened to sue. But whatever, it's about the wrestler. Shane's like, I'll smooth it over. Brian's like, nah, you can't smooth it over. You got a phone call from your daddy, and you're indefinitely suspended. And, you know, nobody's happy about it.
All right. Somebody told me that Steph was coming back, and I almost cried.
I actually like Stephanie. She's awful in the funnest way. But I don't want to choose between her and Shane. I want
them both,
Shane.
Yeah.
Both would be cool.
The little brother-sister dynamic.
Shane is better.
Yeah.
But I don't want... Why they gotta switch? I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But anyway, next, Renee asked Jinder Mahal backstage who he would rather face for the title. He says, it doesn't matter. I've beaten them both.
Bring them on.
He says he represents Asia better than Nakamura ever could. He speaks in Punjab to end the interview.
Well, that's a tea right there.
Next is Baron Corbin versus Ty Dillinger. AJ's on commentary. Because of Connor's cure, you will see random superstars wearing gold. Naomi was in the back for the women's match with gold pants on. AJ has gold elbow pads. These things are going to be up for charity auction after the show.
Okay, the pants are a bit creepy, though.
They were already up for charity auction. Oh, no, I would wear Naomi's pants with my fat ass.
I'm just saying, it's going to be a bunch of sweaty fat dudes.
Oh, maybe a girl will buy it. That's kind of disgusting. I wasn't even thinking that way. That's really gross.
And you say you about that heel life.
I'm not about a nasty, dirty old man.
Horrible thoughts. That is a horrible thought to have.
Yeah, I'm going to buy her gold pants. Like, that's disgusting.
Exactly.
In my head. Oh,
see,
no.
That's why I want you to come to that horrible conclusion. That
I'm not even that kind of. I'm not that kind of heel. That's nasty.
On some would you fuck me? I'd fuck you.
Gross. Gross.
I'm so saying
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Before the commercial, Ty is beating up Baron Corbin, hits him with the suicide dive and all that other stuff. After the break, Corbin's in control. Then Ty comes back with some fists, a flying elbow, some boots in the corner. He slips out of a tiebreaker, boots Ty out of the ring, and tosses him into the barricade. Chokes him into a roll-up for a near fall, and then follows with the 10 punches in the corner. Baron Corbin distracts the referee to give Ty a shot in the throat, because if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But AJ calls it a cheap shot. AJ calls it a cheap shot. Then Baron hits the end of days for the win. AJ's mad about the cheap shot, but not mad enough to, like, do anything about it. So AJ approaches Ty backstage and is like, good fight, calls Baron Corbin a cheap shot artist. He says the U.S. Open Challenge next week would only be open to Ty Dillinger, and they should give the fans the match they wanted. And then Ty shakes his hand. So that's cute. There's a Bobby Roode video package because glorious. Uh-huh. Byron was going to introduce it, but Corey cut him off and did it instead. Because in case you haven't forgotten, Corey, like everybody else with good taste, hates Byron. So
right.
Then Ellsworth approaches Carmella backstage and begs her to take him back. He says that he belongs in a zoo. Carmella says they're doing things her way from now on. And she grabs him and kisses him and then slaps him in the face. Because he likes it rough, I guess.
Now, why? Give me some insight on why she would kiss him and then why she would smack him.
Because she likes it rough. What are they called? Sadists. They like to hurt the people that they love.
Did y'all see James Ellsworth's tweet?
No, what did he say?
Give me a second. Let me pull it up so I can get the exact quotes because we have to clown TJ Perkins inside of this tweet.
Anytime. TJ Perkins?
Yes.
Any day you can do that, that's just a good day, isn't it?
Yes. Hold on. Let me get to it here. James Ellsworth, Twitter account. That's right, virgins. I got the biggest W in my life tonight. Oh my God. I'm going to go slap my ass to celebrate while banging Carmella just like TJP.
What? Wait. What?
Speechless.
What was that last sentence? I'm going to do what?
I'm going to slap my ass to celebrate while banging Carmella just like TJP.
While banging?
Yes.
Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
Just like TJP.
Wouldn't it be better for her
what's
to
like
slap
TJP?
The slapping of his own ass, because apparently somehow it got out and he tried to defend it that TJP slapped his own ass when he's having sex.
But wouldn't it be better for the woman to slap your ass?
No. Wait, so him as a man is having sex with a woman and slapping his ass.
I'm sorry. Correct. That's a woman's thing. That's a woman's thing. She gotta do that for me. If I'm gonna like that kind of
thing.
Why
would you even want to do that for yourself? Like,
exactly.
What do you get out of that? Like, do you talk to yourself like, yeah, daddy, yeah, daddy? Like, why you can't do that?
How does this work? We'll have to ask TJP. But yeah, apparently he tried to defend his defend this on Twitter. So.
Guess who?
TJP?
TJ?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Apparently a man likes the smell of his own ass. I mean, that's the weirdest.
TJ's answer should have been like, what, bitch? I didn't say that, bitch.
I mean,
like,
that's weirder than JBL's bodybuilder
first
lady.
First of all, why does anybody know that you do that? Like, even if you do that, why do we know that you do that?
Because nothing.
Why are you going around telling people you slap your ass when you having sex?
I wonder how that came out.
TJP is fucking 50 years old. Like, what are you doing with slap? What? Well, not 50. 40. Why are you slapping your own ass? And telling people. It's a secret.
Right? Which stays in the...
Or else it should have been. I am disgusted. Anyway, there's a number one contenders match between Shinsuke and that guy, All Lives Orton.
He who must not be
the
named.
The things... They happen. There's a spinning heel kick, a flying kick, kick to the chest, Enziguri running knee. That's all Nakamura. Orton counters a reverse exploder into a backbreaker. Orton hits a superplex for a near fall. There are knees to the body. Orton counters a Kinshasa into a power slam for another near fall. Hits the draping DDT. Goes for the RKO, but Nakamura counters into an armbar, transitions into a triangle. After a while, Orton hoists him up for a powerbomb. Nakamura countered the RKO again, this time into a backbreaker. Finished him off with a Kinshasa for the motherfucking win, bitch!
To his dome piece. Oh my God. I got that as a gift, and I just look at it every day.
Shit was lit as fuck. So,
yes.
Before the show ends...
Chilling in the skybox with the same brothers.
Like a G. Before the show ends...
Should have had somebody feeding grapes.
That'd be funny. Brian approaches Owens to let him know that Shane was suspended, and that was the end of that. Kevin says, oh no, this is just the beginning. The show would be his personal playground next week, and there was nothing Brian could do about it. And so then he tells Kevin we'll be there to address him next week. Ooh, in Vegas.
Right. Don't talk about my grandkids. I'm saying, people go crazy over their grandkids. I don't see why. They're just kids of your kids.
But they're better. Because you don't have to see them every day.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They're like all the good parts of the kid that you remember. Before they had ideas and thoughts and shit.
You can spoil the kid, put them off on your kid. Exactly.
Yeah, grandkids apparently are lit as fuck, is what I've gathered. So,
yeah,
Kevin might have some problems going on.
Oh, he might have lots of problems.
Interesting watch Tuesday. Interesting to say the least.
Yeah, I thought they did a lot to build up next week's show.
Oh yeah,
which is gonna be huge. Yeah, it's gonna next Tuesday is gonna be huge.
They didn't do anything for Naomi though, which is
she got a title match next week.
I mean. Have her say something, maybe. I mean, it's Naomi, it's your most popular diva, because you know Natalya's like is boring as watching a paint dry.
They put her on camera. That's all she needed.
Yeah.
And they said they mentioned it next week, and then they ran the promo package for the title match next week, the rematch next week. So, I mean, they did enough.
I just want us to see a little bit more Black Girl Magic.
Yeah, that's always good. But, some people could stand not to be exposed every time we have a show. And, make me, happy to see them and not be like, oh, well, that's just Naomi again.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
And at this point, we're going to let everybody know, please support our sponsors here at CSPN US and the WrestleCast. Help keep the podcast free. Support Amazon.com. Getting close to that time of year where people are starting to think about Christmas shopping. So please, whatever early Christmas gifts or shopping you'll do for costumes for Halloween, because that's also coming up, go through CSPN.us. Go to our website, click on the banner that says Support a Podcast, click on the banner that says Amazon, and do your shopping as you normally would. Some of that purchase comes back to us here at CSPN to help keep all the podcasts on the network free. So again, that's CSPN.us and Amazon.com. Do it today. Next review is for 205 Live. We had Daivari versus the aforementioned TJ Perkins. Daivari misses a splash. TJP hits a detonation kick, and TJ Perkins gets the win. What was funny about this match was the homie, Rich Swan, please say the homie, came out to basically watch the match. He had him a box of popcorn, and this fool literally set up a chair on top of the announce table and sat there the whole match and watched the match.
Monsters do what they want.
Next, we had Drew Gulak versus Akira Tozawa. Before the match, Drew Gulak comes out, and he says he has a PowerPoint presentation for his agenda to make 205 a better and safer place. This was he had 277 slides of his PowerPoint. His first rule was no jumping from the top rope. His second slide was no jumping off the middle rope.
Then Tozawa. At that point, I just lost it. I mean, really? No jumping?
Then Tozawa came out.
It's like basketball with the dunking.
Yeah, so Tozawa hits the spinning heel kick. Then he hits the atomic senton bomb, and Tozawa gets the win. There is this one little funny part, though, where Drew Gulak was, like, stomping on Tozawa, and he jumped off the bottom rope, and Nigel McGuinness, who was the new 205 announcer, was like, you see, that wasn't in the slide, so that's perfectly legal. main event time, Cedric Alexander, Grand Metalik, Enzo, Tony Nese, and Brian Kendrick, Fatal 5-Way, number one contenders match. Basically, Cedric goes ballistic and eliminates Tony Nese, Grand Metalik, and Brian Kendrick, all with the lumbar check. Enzo sneaks in after Alexander eliminates Kendrick, and Enzo gets the win via a roll-up and pulling the tights. Mm-hmm. And now Enzo is your new Cruiserweight number one contender.
Because if you're not cheating, you're not what? Trying.
You think he's going to get a championship? Or
That'd be funny if he did.
He does have the charisma for it.
The way things are shaping up, probably.
Yeah. I mean, poor Neville, but he has the moment. He has the charisma to carry that brand about himself.
Yeah, I think that's their plan, is to try to, basically get Enzo to be the face of 205 because he has the charisma and people seem to be drawn to him. He can't keep up as far as in-ring goes, so him being the, rule breaker, shortcutter, like DD said, definitely works with the logic here. So
using the street rules.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys I heard though in 205 Live that aren't very happy with the situation of him just coming in off of Raw and you know getting thrust right into the title picture, kind of like a Lana situation. But you know, what can you do?
Right, roll with the punches, bro. Keep getting them checks.
Next, my favorite show, NXT. Show starts with a video recap of the issues between Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno, which has led to the No DQ main event later tonight. We get our first match. We get Cian Almas versus Cesar Bonini. Zelina Vega, a.k.a. Thea Trinidad, is on commentary, and she did a really good job. She really, you know, took over the commentary booth and used the time to get herself over. A lot of people these days don't understand that when you're out there to do commentary, you need to, like, carry the segment. They lay out a lot for you to do the talking. So she really, like, you know, took over the spot. I think she did great on the commentary. Almas gets revenge on Bonini. Bonini upset him earlier, a few months back, and he got the win, Almas did, with that hammerlock DDT. We get a video recap of Adam Cole and Red Dragon jumping Drew McIntyre last week, followed by Steven Regal saying that they can be a part of NXT, but there will be no more attacks in a parking lot or from behind. All things now will be done in the ring. Get my favorite, Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark. He says that he will be willing to speak real soon. Sanity video, and they basically speak about the attack last week by Cole and Red Dragon. And then we get Zeta versus Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville wins by submission, but they're trying to choke. We see a video from the Performance Center. Ruby Riott approaches Steven Regal and asks for a handicap match with the iconic duo. Regal says he can't do that in good faith, but if Ruby found a partner, he would make a tag team match for next week. Now, there's a part of this show that was missing on the WWE Network. There's a handicap match fitting that I'm going to say it after Steven Regal just denied Ruby Riott a handicap match, but Lars Sullivan wrestled three local competitors and it gets about a minute in, maybe a minute and 10 seconds in, and all of a sudden it just jumps and we totally don't see what happens. So what happens is Lars Sullivan gives all three of these guys basically the rock bottom, wins the match. He's going a little bit overboard after the match, and then No Way Jose comes down to make the save, because if you guys remember a couple of weeks ago in Brooklyn when No Way Jose came out to start the show, after the takeover show, Lars Sullivan came out and beat him down. So looks like we're going to get Lars Sullivan in the actual program coming up here soon.
I'm excited. I mean, the guy needs a chance.
We get our main event, Cassius Ohno versus Hideo Itami, no disqualification. Cassius Ohno gets out of the GTS, then he hits a blatant low blow, followed by the rolling elbow, and Cassius Ohno gets the win. It was basically a callback to a few months ago where Hideo Itami hit him with a low blow to help him put him in the GTS and win. So now Cassius Ohno in the no DQ match returns to favor. This was a really good match. Very entertaining. I really enjoyed it. Hideo Itami as a heel definitely has a lot to him.
I mean, way more than he was as a face to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just kind of just there.
Right. He's much better as a heel. Right. And then we have our final segment. Asuka, the Empress of Tomorrow, comes out to address the crowd on her future. She says that she is NXT, and NXT is her, and she's learned so much, and she's, you know, so thankful and grateful for everybody at NXT in the crowd. Regal says that he's been talking with both GMs, and soon Asuka will be leaving NXT. Regal says it's a great opportunity for her, but she will have to give up her women's title. So
kind of messed up, though. I mean, Sasha didn't give hers up when she joined the main roster. Why should Asuka? You got to beat her to take that championship away from her, in my opinion.
I liked it just because it gave them an out by her, you know, because
the injury and all that. Yeah,
it gets to the point where you don't want to beat her. you've gone this far and you haven't beaten her, why beat her now? So just, right. You know, just let her kind of, like they said, like she's kind of graduating. Like, you know, there's nobody left here for me to wrestle. There's no need for me to stay down here and keep holding these other girls, you know, opportunities down. So I'll just, you know, fly the coop. You know, once it's known that, you know, she's going to be leaving or whatever, have to give her the title, all the women come from the back. All the women competitors in NXT come from the back, and they get on stage, and they basically give her standing ovation. And then Asuka gets back on the mic again, and she says a little bit more. And then, like, all the guys come out, and, you know, the whole roster basically comes out, and they start chanting Asuka, thank you, Asuka, with the crowd. Then Base God himself, Triple H, comes out. Triple H comes out and hands her a bouquet of roses and kind of, you know, takes the belt from her or whatever. And then after that, we have Ember Moon part the crowd. And she comes walking down the aisle from all the other wrestlers. And she gets in the ring and she extends her hand to Asuka for Asuka to shake. She pulls it back and then she goes in and hugs Asuka. And they have a big embrace. And that was basically your NXT for this week. The room was real dusty, especially when Ember Moon came out there and they hugged, because that was, you know, her greatest opponent here in NXT, you know, gave her the best matches and pushed her to the limit. So a really good send off for Asuka. I hope they don't mess her up on the main roster. I mean, she seems like they, you know, there's no way they can mess it up, but we've seen with Bayley that is highly possible for them to mess it up.
I guess we'll find a way if there is one.
Right. So, you know, as the NXT guy here every week for 523 days, Asuka was the NXT Women's Champion. And we say thank you, Asuka, for all your entertaining matches and gif-able moments.
Yes, there are so many.
And it will always remain that no one is ready for Asuka.
Empress Hive. I love that woman. I'm sorry. I don't see who's going to beat her and what's going to. She's going to keep that streak going.
Yeah, hopefully they keep it going until they can manufacture the match between her and Charlotte.
You think that's going to happen like Mania?
I don't know. The way they're going, they're going to put it on TV.
And I'm going to cry and watch it and cry.
So we have Lucha Underground. This is episode 99. Mm-hmm. So next week will be episode 100. And we're getting closer to Ultima Lucha Tres.
I wait.
We get Drago versus the Mac for the ancient Aztec medallion.
Oh my God. The Mac looks like my uncle who says he, bro. I swear to God. Every time I see the Mac, I just want to buy a swing set.
Get your cup ready, DD. Cobra Moon distracts the Mac, which leads to an Enziguri and the Dragon's Lair roll up by Drago to get the win. After the match, the Mac hits a stunner on Drago, then turns his sight on Cobra Moon. When Pentar comes down with the fourth member of the reptile tribe, and they all beat down Willie Mac. Dario Cueto was in. Yeah. I had when I was watching this match, because, you know, the Mac almost got signed to WWE, to NXT, but something came up, like it's physical or something, right? I was just thinking, man, the Mac versus Kevin Owens, man, that'd be a hell of a match.
I need that to be a trilogy, like Okada, Omega. In between the ropes, I mean, what's stopping that?
Yeah, that'd be a highly entertaining match. They probably have crossed paths in the indies at some point. I'm sure there's something out there between those two, if you're willing to get into the rabbit hole and look for it.
Right, I know what I'm doing on YouTube tonight.
Next, we get Dario Cueto. He's in the ring to announce the card for next week's 100th episode. Cueto makes the main event between Matanza and Rey Mysterio. Cueto then calls Rey down to the ring. Cueto tells Rey to go home, but Rey refuses until Cueto threatens to fire Aztec Jr. Rey tells Cueto that once he's done with Matanza, he's coming after Cueto next.
Coming up, you, N-word.
We have Sleaze, Joey Ryan, versus Cortez Castro in a 5-0 street fight. They had, like, guys with the police riot shields, like, as lumberjacks around the ring. They had various nightsticks and other type of plunder. They had, you know, like, police lights set up on the on the post on the outside. So
they went all out, huh?
Yeah, they had a nice little setup for it. So Castro gets the win after giving Joey Ryan a running Michinoku driver onto a bunch of those police shields that were stacked up into the ring.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a dope spot.
Oh, it was. Yes, it was.
Next, we have Matanza versus the whole Rabbit Tribe. So another 3-on-1 handicap match. Matanza gets the win with the running power slam, with the power slam he does. I forgot what the name of it is, but yeah, the little swinging power slam he does. He did that to Paul London and got the win. Prince Puma then comes out to tell us who will be on his team next week in their tag team match versus Johnny Mundo. Well, of course, that causes Johnny to come out. Johnny and Prince Puma have a face-to-face in which the match for the Ultimate Lucha 3 now has stipulations. Johnny says, if I'm going to put up my belt, you need to put up something too, so how about you put up your mask?
Prince Puma
agrees.
He does.
Then,
this is going to be on.
Dario Cueto comes out and goes one step further. He says, mask isn't enough, Puma, for a match this big. It's going to be a title versus career match at Ultimate Lucha Trace between Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma.
It sounds like a dope match. It's going to be some, I don't know, Mundo, this is going to be a great match, you know that much, but could it be some shenanigans?
Oh, it's going to be a whole bunch of shenanigans.
You already know.
Haven't you heard of Worldwide Underground?
Yeah. But, you know, I just want to, if I were booking it, I'd just have it a straight match. Shenanigans at the end just to determine the winner, you know? Other than that, this has got to go straight down the middle. This is going to be a hell of a match. I'm saying at least a 4-star from Meltzer.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely has the potential to be something else. DD, what did you think about Lucha Underground this week? Were you entertained?
Yes, I was.
What, did you have a
favorite? I can't with Cobra and her people. That one guy's mask is exceedingly creepy. Large. It's just, it's unsettling. But yeah, I enjoyed that match, and I enjoyed the street fight for real with the hot coffee, quote unquote.
Oh yeah, he poured hot coffee onto Jerry Ryan's money
man
maker.
Parts.
Yeah,
always a good spot.
Yeah, they did a whole bunch in that match. I mean, he Castro suplexed him off the damn announce table on the floor. Yeah. That's a pretty nasty spot. It had some. Had some nightsticks. Castro got busted open at one point from the nightstick. So that was a really good match. I mean, I don't really care for Joey Ryan's wrestling ability, but you know, he showed a lot of heart and toughness in that match. So got to give the props where it's due. Now at this point, we'll go into our final review, the Mae Young Classic, Round 2. The block episodes are now available on WWE Network, so please take the weekend, catch up on the second round of the Mae Young Classic, because we have the finals coming up this Tuesday night on the WWE Network after SmackDown. So the first episode, which would be episode 5, we had Rachel Evers versus Abby Laith. Abby Laith is getting a lot of steam. She is very popular with the crowd and the social media crowd as well. Yeah. Rachel Evers is Paul Ellering's daughter, for those of y'all who don't know. She wrestles under Rachel Evers because she was trained by Lance Storm, and Lance Storm's real last name is Evers. So she's kind of paying homage to him.
That's so sweet.
Right? That's a terrible moment.
Yeah, so Rachel Evers hits this. She's like because Paul Ellering was a deadlifter, weightlifter guy, so she's like a deadlift champion. She's got like some local awards or whatever. She hits this power slam from off the top rope on Abby Laith and only gets a near fall. This was so sweet looking. Evers goes for a high leg kick, but gets caught by Laith into a power bomb and then the alligator clutch, paying homage to Mae Young, and Abby Laith gets the win. This is a really good opening match. Good opening match. Next up, we get everybody's new favorite, Piper Niven versus Serena Deeb. Piper Niven hits a Vader bomb, but only gets a near fall. Deeb then rushes in and gets caught in the Michinoku driver by Piper. Piper gets the pin, and she advances.
Oh, my God. When she hit that Vader bomb, my mom almost lost her shit.
Seriously. Yeah, Piper definitely got herself over in this tournament. She's fared very well. She's a bigger athlete, and she takes bumps and can do just about anything. She's very athletic. You know, so yeah, she's definitely got a bright future. Get one of Didi's favorites from the first night, Princessa Suhe versus, I think, your ultimate favorite, Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes Martinez.
I don't know who that is.
Mercedes Martinez was the lady who had all the tattoos in the very first episode.
Oh, yeah, the little angry woman. Yeah, I did like her.
Mercedes counters Suhei's finisher and gets the Fisherman Buster to get the win.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Right. Yeah. I'm glad Suhei's gone because that name does not say Suhei, and I don't appreciate them trying to pretend that it does.
The main event of Night 5. Might have been the best match out of the whole second block of episodes.
Yes.
We have Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair.
My baby. Versus my baby.
This match was great. I mean, Bianca Belair whipped that ass with the hair.
Yes. Mother culture. You gotta add that.
Yes, Bianca Belair just looked fantastic, and Sam sent me a text that he wanted to make sure that everybody knows that he thought Bianca Belair looked fantastic in this match, much better than her first match, and that she came off looking strong.
Infinitely better.
And her future is bright.
Oh, yeah.
Bianca misses a spear, which was her finishing move, which gives Kairi the opening to hit that gorgeous-looking top rope elbow and get the win.
Work of art, isn't it? I'm like, oh my god, how does she bend like that in the air?
Yeah, it is pretty cool looking. This match was about 10 minutes, and it is very good. If you were kind of on the fence on Bianca Belair about, I don't know, you won't have any doubts after you watch this match. We should be talking more about Kairi Sane because she's moving on, and we will, but this was definitely a case of somebody getting themselves over while taking a loss. Because she was so impressive in this match.
Exactly. I mean, she beat a woman with those bundles. I mean, how much for the culture can you get? She did it for us, bro. She did it for us.
Yes, it was definitely a highlight watching that on Monday, Labor Day. So much fun. I am here. Like I said, I am in the driver's seat of the Bianca Belair bandwagon, and there's plenty of room to get on board, but it will be filling up fast.
Exactly.
We'll be filling up fast. So night 6, we get Toni Storm, as I like to call her, Toni with the good hair, versus Lacey Evans. Basically, Toni Storm is from New Zealand, I think. Two basic, you know, blondes, you know, going out of here. Lacey Evans used to be in the Marine Corps. She's kind of got like the 1950s pinup, you know, thing going on. Toni Storm hits the strong zero and gets the win over Lacey Evans.
That is a good finisher for her.
Yes, it is good. She does the hip attacks with a little wind and grind to it. So Toni Storm's got a lot of charisma in ring. Her outfit coming to the ring is pretty cool with the little top hat or whatever. Exactly. So I mean, she's got a lot of charisma and just, you know, like what I like to call the E with her. Right. So
great pageantry, wonderful moveset.
Yeah, she should be going far. Next, we get Mia Yim, a.k.a. Mia Yum Yum, versus Shayna Baszler. Mia goes for 450, but Shayna gets the knees up and gets Mia into the rear naked choke, and Shayna Baszler gets the win. This was a very good match. I thought Mia pushed Shayna, you know, maybe more than anybody has so far in the tournament. She just made that one mistake, and I like the way the story was. Well, that's just how dangerous Shayna Baszler is. You know, if you give her the opportunity to get your throat, that's all she wrote.
That's
20-year-old sensation, nearly 6 feet tall, Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai. Rhea Ripley gets caught in the tree of woe, and Dakota Kai is able to hit the double foot stomp, and she gets the win. Basically, Dakota Kai did the Alberto Patron.
Yeah.
Finisher that he was using in WWE when he came back for that brief little stint. Rhea Ripley is going to be really good. If she gets signed, Yeah, she's going to take over because she could be like the new Beth Phoenix.
I know, right? That's what I was thinking.
And I think that Bianca Belair could pull off something like MVP.
Because she has all, just giving you jobs yet.
Because she has all the real athletic merit, and she also has that EST. Yeah, yeah, and she has that EST where she's like, I'm the, and the EST stands for, you know, the est. She's the prettiest. She's the baddest. Mm-hmm. She's the, you know. So yeah, she's the strongest. So yeah, I think that she could really pull off something like an MVP type, you know,
right
thing.
It'd be wonderful if she just comes out on SmackDown to Bodak Yellow. that's got to be a theme song, bro. I mean, I would accept nothing other than that.
We get our main event for night six, where we have Nicole Savoy versus Candice LeRae. Nicole gets Candice on the top rope, but Candice fights out until she's able to hit Miss LeRae's wild ride, and she gets the win. So Mrs. Johnny Gargano is moving on.
That's the rubber heart.
Night seven, we have Abby Lath versus Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes counters the alligator clutch into the fisherman's buster suplex to get the win in advance to the semifinals. This was a really good match. It was really cool to see that reversal out of the alligator clutch that Abby Lath had been winning to win her matches, and to see somebody kind of, you know, get out of it, and then, you know, how quick they transition from that into the fisherman buster.
Exactly. That's what had me.
Yeah, it was really good. Mercedes Martinez, she was unknown to me before this event, but yeah, she definitely has earned my respect, and she is not an unknown to me any longer. So next up, we have Candice LeRae versus Shayna Baszler. Shayna counters Miss LeRae's wild ride into the rear naked choke, and she gets the win. Another good, you know, display of just how dangerous Shayna Baszler is. It doesn't take much.
All right.
And
really choke somebody out one day. It's gonna be hilarious.
It almost was Candice LeRae because she held on to it a little bit longer than she had been so far. I don't know if she felt like Candice might have hit her with a live round or something, but yeah. So
something's there. I want to know what that is.
Right.
She held that for a little too long.
Match of the two upstarts. It was Piper Niven versus Toni Storm. Toni hits a belly-to-bat suplex off the second rope to Piper, and then she gets the win with a top rope leg drop. So Toni Storm is moving on. Piper Niven, another strong showing. She definitely got, again, another person who got themselves over and definitely has a lot of buzz coming out of this tournament. Then we get our main event, Kairi Sane versus Dakota Kai. Kairi follows up the Alabama Slam with a big elbow drop, and she moves on to the next round.
I mean, that one is going to go at least five times champion of WWE.
Yeah. Night eight was the semifinals, and that consisted of Mercedes Martinez versus Shayna Baszler. This match has a very intricate backstory, as Mercedes Martinez basically trains Shayna Baszler. They are friends. When Shayna Baszler was doing her wrestling, first starting out in wrestling, you know, she was a part of Mercedes Martinez's crew. So, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, history between these two ladies.
Yes.
So Baszler hits the Falcon Arrow and transition into the rear naked choke onto Martinez, and Shayna Baszler advances to the finals. This is a really good match just because, you know, Mercedes had a bunch of counters to what Shayna was going for. And so, you know, it was kind of like teacher versus student in that way. So it's a really good match, really good story. And then our last semifinal match, Kairi Sane versus Toni Storm. Kairi Sane fights back from being in an armbar. She fights free, and she eventually hits that top rope elbow drop again. And Kairi Sane gets the win. So your finals. This Tuesday, after SmackDown, going to be Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane to determine the winner of the Mae Young Classic. During this block of episodes, I think it was after the first episode, they showed a confrontation between Ronda Rousey and her crew in Charlotte, Becky, and Bayley outside of the Full Sail Arena. So it looks like there may be something brewing between the Four Horsewomen of MMA and the Four Horsewomen of NXT or WWE. So, Dee Dee, let's bring you back in real fast. Would you like to see? Would you like to see Ronda Rousey and her crew versus Charlotte and her crew at Survivor Series?
No, I wouldn't. No,
it doesn't interest you in the least.
She's not a wrestler. She's just a box, an MMA fighter who lost embarrassingly, and then decided to tell everybody she was part black when she became a loser. Like, I didn't appreciate that shit.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
You don't remember that?
Yes.
Like, right after she started losing, I remember. She was like, oh, you know I'm like 1/3, 400th black, right?
Like, girl. Don't put the horrible faction in there.
Like, right. She just won but here's the thing. I'm not interested in, like, these MMA chicks who don't put in or don't seem to put in any effort and then just randomly get to be like, ooh, I think they'll be at a WrestleMania match.
I know, right?
No, absolutely not. My thing is, you put in the work, you put in the effort, and then we'll talk about it. Exactly. You don't just get to have it just because you have a name. Like, I'm not interested in that. Okay. And she just stank anyway, so I don't know.
I mean, can we talk about that acting or lack thereof? Because that was awkward and just 30 seconds of my time that I really want back. Really, I could have been reading a book right then.
Or something. It was effective to get over what they wanted because they kind of had been teasing the tension inside the arena where they were kind of on opposite sides of the aisle, kind of yelling back and forth at each other and pointing and stuff.
My crew type stuff.
Yeah, so at some point, this is going to be a thing as long as nobody from the WWE side gets hurt. Again, I'm assuming. I mean, you know, Bayley's got the shoulder right now, so she should be coming back here soon. And then, you know, I guess they'll try to advance that, or they may even get some advancement this Tuesday, depending on, you know, how things work out. So we will be live tweeting this Tuesday night, WWE Network after SmackDown, the finals of the Mae Young Classic. Again, the hashtag is hashtag forever young cast. Thank you to Quintessential R for coming up with the hashtag, and you guys for voting on the hashtag back in July when we first figured out when they were going to start airing these particular episodes. So apparently this has been a bang up hit on the WWE Network. Seems like everybody enjoyed the four episodes at a time. Kind of makes wrestling podcasts kind of not be able to do like a review type show, so they had to kind of lump them all in at one point like we're doing here. But other than that, it seems to be well received as far as having all the episodes at one time, so that may be something that they continue to do in the future. Who knows? So is there anybody else that really stood out to you that you like besides Bianca in this tournament? Kudo?
Yeah, Piper, you know, her athleticism is it's wonderfully shocking, if I should say.
Right.
She has a great personality. I think she's going to be a great wrestler wherever she goes. Hopefully she comes to the WWE if they don't want to hear their loss, but she's going to be great somewhere. I mean, Kairi Sane, as usual, I mean, she's going to be a megastar somewhere. I mean, well, WWE already has her, don't they?
Yeah, WWE. Yeah, she's under contract.
We'll just go ahead and get that Kairi versus Sasha ready for Mania. I want it.
It actually might be a match where Sasha might actually outweigh her by like 25, 30 pounds.
Right. I mean, it's gonna be a mega match. That should be a main event in WrestleMania type match. If any match is gonna be one for a woman.
Right. Piper Nevin kind of looks like King Kong Bundy. She will make you, you know, think of King Kong Bundy, and that's a very good thing. Yeah, right? that's a very good thing.
I mean, you shouldn't be thinking of Big Show when you think of King Kong Bundy. His face is so weird. I never noticed the side of, like, how straight the bridge of his nose is with that beard. It's hauntingly straight.
I like Dakota Kai. She's a little smaller. I liked her a lot. Like I said, I thought Toni Storm really had a lot of charisma. She had a lot of, you know, more than just the wrestling going on with her. And I like Lacey Evans a lot.
I love me again.
Right. Yeah, that's not, you know, Black Girl Magic, of course. I like how, like, everybody else was disappointed that they lost. Lacey Evans was pissed when she lost.
Oh, my God. She expected this. I was told by Abigail that I would be getting the win.
Yeah, she was pissed.
She is hot.
Right, so I really like that about her. So that really kind of endeared me to her when I saw that reaction to her losing. I was like, you know what, I like that about her. Everybody else, you know, kind of happy to be here, and you know, thanks for the opportunity. She was like, God damn it!
Right.
So that's our review for, you know, the Mae Young. Guys, spend some time, go back, watch these episodes. They're like, you know, around 45-50 minutes, not quite a whole hour, real easy to watch. The commentary, I think, on the second block of shows is much better than
has Lita improved? Because that shit was tragic.
JR, to me, improved. I didn't think Lena was so bad on the first one, but I thought JR was kind of...
You didn't think she was bad?
I mean, she was typical Lita.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I mean, I didn't have
her off of commentary if that's the case.
I didn't have these great expectations for Lita coming into
exactly. this. I didn't either. I thought they were going to bring in Trish. She's a better speaker than Lita. They should have brought in Trish, and that's all I'm saying. Yeah. It would have been better.
Trish just had another baby. She didn't really have time.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, she's got a career and doing all this other stuff, being a mom, so, you know, WWE is so far in her radar.
There are other women. They could have found somebody.
Apparently Medusa was a part of this, but we never saw her. Like, she was the one who did, like...
Was part of what?
Was a part of the team. Like, all those sit-down interviews or whatever. I guess they had, like...
Oh, she was the one asking the questions?
Yeah, but I guess they had some, like, backstage stuff, too. Like, reactions. Like, if you go online, there's a lot of WWE.com where she's getting, like, instant reactions to people. But they never show any of that stuff on the actual network.
Well, that's
stuff,
rude.
So. Right. She's a legend.
So, at this point, I don't have anything else to really add. New Japan fans, do have New Japan World. Fire up your New Japan World this weekend. On Sunday, we've got a never open weight title match between Minoru Suzuki and Michael Elgin. That should be really fun.
Right.
Saturday, they also have a show on Saturday. I don't know what the main event is. Probably some multi-man tag match. And they also came back tonight. Today strong too, with their first event leading into Destruction, which is going to culminate on September 24th with the God Kenny Omega defending his IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship versus Juice Robinson. So, you guys, you know, who listen to Cast a Strong Style, Miyamoto back. Probably going to record this weekend, talk about these three shows that are happening this weekend. So be on the lookout for the new episode of Cast a Strong Style with me and my co-host, JP Kamoto.
Looking forward to it.
So at this point, we'll open it up to our guest, Kudo. Kudo, shout outs, thank yous. Again, let the people know where they can follow you on Twitter.
Just at Dark Kudo, DARTHKUDO. Shout out to all the Black wrestling fans. I love y'all. Especially my marks on the WrestleCast, RawCast, the hashtag SmackDown Matters. I love you guys. Keep it up. Didi, let me get them numbers. Come on.
Yeah.
Please. We can build, you know, shock the gram. Other than that, there's much to say, you know. Wrestling forever.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
No problem, bro. Anytime.
Didi Jonet?
Yes.
Shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to Kudo. Shout out to you, Donald. Shout out to Sam Greg Classic Mail, because Mail always gets shout outs. Shout out to anybody who's ever been a guest on the WrestleCast, and it's a lot of y'all at this point. So I don't want to start naming names and I forget somebody. So shout out to all of y'all. Shout out to everybody who has made sure that SmackDown Matters. Hashtag. That's right. And I mean, I hear you, Kudo, but I don't want to get in the way of you and Naya, so I don't know. But yeah, that's all my shout-outs.
Thank you. I'd like to give a shout-out to our guest, Kudo. Of course, my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Didi Jonet. I'd like to give a shout-out to Sam, Greg, Classic Materia. Of course, Mel, because she always gets shout-outs. Shout-outs to everybody here on the CSPN.us, providing great content, great podcasts for you guys to listen to. And again, I'd like to reiterate Dee Dee's words. Thank everybody for being a guest, for showing love, for sharing the show, for tweeting inside the live tweets, interacting for 150 episodes. Had no idea that we would still be doing this almost 3 years later when we got this band together to talk about wrestling. And it's fun. It's the highlight of my week. I look forward to talking Dee Dee and Sam and whenever we can, Greg and our guests. So, continue to share the show. Rate it on iTunes. Give it 5 stars. So people can say, hey, what is this, show with these 5 stars, with these black people hosting it? Let me take a listen so we can get our numbers up and get more people involved and in tune to what we do here at the WrestleCast. So, for our guest, Kudo, my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Dee Dee Jonet.
Ow.
I'm Don De Laurentiis, and this has been episode 150 of the WrestleCast. Stay tuned for the parting promo, and we'll see you guys next week.
Nip it right in the bud. You are not going to do what you did last week and come out here and make yourself a referee. See, Kevin, at every turn, I've been extremely patient, but you've been defiant. You have been so defiant to me. And Kevin, one thing that we have to get very clear. You need to stop blaming me for your losses. Let's go back to SummerSlam. You blame me for your loss at SummerSlam. When I told you, you and AJ, if you put your hands on me, well, things can happen. But once again, the conclusion of that match, you blame me for your loss. Let's go back 2 weeks ago right here on SmackDown Live. Once again, you had another opportunity at the United States Championship where you yourself got to pick your own referee. You picked Baron Corbin. He came down, and he didn't even finish. He left. He left the entire match. He walked away. But once again, Kevin, you blame me for your losses. Kevin, I don't know what else to do for you.
I know that you never wanted me on SmackDown Live, and guess what? That's the one thing I can agree with you on, because I don't want to be on SmackDown Live either. If it was up to me, I would still be on Raw.
Well, we definitely agree on that, and I wonder why that is, Kevin. Oh, let me go back and go down memory lane. Is that because Triple H single-handedly gave you the Universal Championship? See, that's not how it works here on SmackDown Live. You have to earn your championships. Matter of fact, all talent have to earn their success here, Kevin. And by the way, when you look at me, don't blame me why you're not successful. Blame yourself.
So you're telling me that the reason I'm not United States champion right now has nothing to do with you? Nothing to do with you. Of course it has to do with you. Everything here has something to do with Shane McMahon, because you make sure that's how it is. Yeah. Why do you need to do all these things to get the spotlight? Is it because your daddy didn't give you enough attention when you were a kid? Is that what it is? Is that why you're willing to do anything to be the center of attention? You're willing to parade your kids around here and make them dance during your entrance? Huh? Is that...
Do not mention my kids again.
What about jumping off the cell? Huh? Was that... Look, Dad! Look what I can do! I can jump off the cell! Look, Daddy! I can fall off really tall things and get back up! Look, Daddy! I can survive a helicopter crash! I'm gonna be real honest with you right now. Your entire family would have been better off if you hadn't survived that crash. Everyone. Your dad. Your wife. And especially your kids.
Oh, oh, it's Shane McMahon! Shane McMahon on Kevin Owens! Oh, oh, oh my God! Oh.